everyone, it's Phyllis here. So tonight we've got a few things on the go, quite a few people on the call. Tracy, hi, how are you? Loved the pictures that you sent in today of your couple of the dishes that you made and your son with one of his favourites, so that was quite gorgeous. And thanks for giving us permission to share them. Hayley's going to get them put on the 112 Facebook page and sent out next week with the newsletter, so that's fantastic. Love it when people send in things. It's very personalised then, and you know, definitely when you're involving your family, it's awesome because that really cements the health aspect of it, and the fact that, you know, the food's great for you, but it's also great for your family. Hey Sarah, how are you going? You've been doing awesome as well. So there's a few great weight losses I noticed this week. Hayley's been replying to most everybody today, and she's got another batch through tonight, which she will reply tomorrow. So Damien's just had a computer crash, so he's going to take a few minutes to get on, but he shouldn't be too far away. Tonight we're going to actually talk a little bit about sugar. He may have somebody's food diary that he's going to discuss on the call. We'll just see if he's had a chance to scan over it so that he knows what he's talking about. Otherwise, we'll do it next week, or he'll make a recording. Alrighty, so we did say that we had some announcements to make. So everybody knows about the Day with Damien retreat in Wellington. So for any of you that are in Wellington, or you have friends or family in Wellington, it's not this Sunday but the following Sunday. Please make sure that you let them know, because we're basically really only doing Dunedin, Christchurch and Wellington this year. The other thing which I have just posted on the Facebook page is that you guys are in a very select group, because June is our last 112 intake. So in this format, it's pretty intense, and we know this. And a lot of people, you know, don't get the opportunity to actually have full-on bloods and analysis and everything that goes with it. So June is our very last intake for the 112, and yeah, so we'll keep you posted about what's happening after that. So make sure that you enjoy it, go hard, because you are in a select group. Damien, are you on yet? So tonight we're going to discuss sugar. If you want to post any questions up now, it would be great. Start typing them in for when Damien's on. We're going to talk about sugar and the sugar that's in food. We're going to talk about the sugar that's added to food. We're going to talk about how exercise can help you clear sugar out of your body, and also how sugar actually affects your outer appearance as well. So, you know, ages us a lot quicker, wrinkles, also, you know, we get a dullness. So we're going to talk about all of those sorts of things. So as soon as Damien gets on, it'd be great to post your questions. Anyone want to share their weight loss or how they're going up to date, up to now, if you want to share that, you need to type it in, because we don't just do it without your permission. So please type in if you'd like to share how much you've lost so far. That'd be awesome. It's nice and motivating for other people, because I know there's some really good numbers. Alrighty, I'm just going to do a refresh. Some of you are actually flying to Wellington for the women's conference as well, so that's going to be pretty awesome. Hayley will be there, Rosetta will be there, myself, I'll be there. So there'll be a number of us who are going to be at the women's conference as well as the day with Damien, which means that we'll get to meet a lot of you for the very, very first time. All right, I might just start without him. Oops, he's on, just as I was going to start without him. Is that you on, Damien?
Hello.
Hey, how are you going?
Good, thanks. Sorry about that.
That's okay. I've just run through with everybody about the day with Damien's in Wellington, Christchurch and Dunedin. I've also let everybody know that this June 112 day challenge intake is going to be our very last in its current format. So post that on Facebook. So they're in a very select last group, really. Getting the full analysis of bloods and the full-on program that they have got. Hey, Lloydie, you've got on the call. That's awesome. So, in tonight's call, I said we're going to be talking about sugar. Possibly you're going to be looking at somebody's food diary. And we're going to be talking about sugar, how you can, you know, how it's naturally in food, how it's added to food, how exercise can clear it, how it actually affects your outer appearance, you know, ages us, wrinkles. So the floor's yours.
Oh, well, there
all
you
that
go.
Half an hour.
How are we going to do all that? That's incredible. Hey, do I have that food diary?
Yes, you do, but I can resend it again to you if you like. Yep.
When did you send it?
Today.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. That's okay. You can start talking about your sugar, and I will go and sort that out for you.
Oh, no, I found it. I have found it.
Okay.
Okay, cool. No worries. All right. Well, sugar's interesting, isn't it? Because it's everywhere. And often what we hear is people talk about sugar in terms of the white stuff or the brown stuff, whichever flavour you like, whatever you prefer. But really, sugar is carbohydrate. And so carbohydrate's in every single food that we eat, really, except for those things that I suppose would be dedicated proteins. So things like animal meats, animal proteins, eggs, fish, chicken, red meat, those sorts of things don't contain much, if any, carbohydrate. Generally, the carbohydrate that's consumed by an animal is converted to fat. So as a result of eating carbohydrate, if it's not burned, it gets stored as fat. And then I suppose then if you're to get access to any kind of extra fuel that the animal has eaten and then stored, that's going to be within the meat or on the surface of the meat, which would be the two different types of fat which we consider to be present in our food supply, which would be saturated fat, but in the form of either glycogen or the fat that's subcutaneous. So the subcutaneous fat's the wobbly stuff that we can feel that's underneath our skin. And then the glycogen store or the intramuscular fat is the stuff that's called Wagyu. That's the stuff that you see in beef or in the really fatty cuts of lamb or in the grain-fed cattle. Now, the reason why I raise that and we start the, you know, I'm going to start this discussion off with that is that many people actually ask me, you know, why can't I have, you know, all these extra grains that I've been eating? You know, why can't I have wheat? Why can't I have oats? I thought oats were good for me. You know, why can't I have, you know, rice with a meal? You know, I really miss my carbohydrates. And part of the reason why many people miss their carbohydrates is because they've been so addicted to them. And many people are so addicted to carbohydrates and sugars that they literally have an emotional attachment to them. And there is a cannabinoid response to carbohydrate that gets us addicted to them, that gives us the same sensation, the same feeling that we'd get as if we smoked some dope or some pot. And as a result of that, not only do we feel happier, we feel more excited about life and we feel more vibrant. You know, it's very, very addictive and consequently, it's very, very difficult to give it up. And so we can tend to turn towards other addictive behaviours. And so some people, when they give up carbohydrate or sugar, get the DTs. They can get headaches, shaking, migraine, eye strain, sweating, pimples, diarrhea, flatulence, even constipation. So when you're giving up a lot of carbohydrate, there can be a whole lot of bucket load of stuff that takes place. But really, it's a result of the withdrawal from the carbohydrate that you've been over-consuming in your diet. And part of the reason why in 112-day challenge I've asked you to have none is because we need you to get you through that. We need to get you to get through the Wagyu that you've stored, the Wagyu that you've created on your bum and in your thighs, get through all that sort of stuff so that you can actually access the subcutaneous fat and also the fat that's in and around your gut, in and around your organs called visceral adipose tissue, which is also stored carbohydrate from all the previous meals that you've had too much of. So, you know, there's that side of it. So we want to talk more about how to get rid of all that. But essentially, carbohydrate or sugar is present in anything that grows from a plant. So all plant forms do contain carbohydrate or sugar, and you need to moderate that. And the foods that have been selected for you in 112-day challenge are very low carbohydrate fuels, and even the grains that I've allowed you to have are low carbohydrate fuels compared to many other grains that that are available on the marketplace. But keep in mind, too, that you don't want to go too low carbohydrate, because when you go too low carbohydrate, then that can be challenging for the body. But what you might deem as too low in terms of carbohydrate physiologically may not, in fact, be too low carbohydrate. So, you know, there's always that discussion to be had too. Did you want to add anything there, Briggsy?
I just wanted, so a lot of people, you know, artificial sweeteners, so people think, okay, well, I won't have sugar. As such, I'll have an artificial sweetener. And I read a statement, and I'm just trying to think of it because it was quite well written, and it was about, I remember, it's a case of trading one problem for another if you're going to be having an artificial sweetener, because our bodies actually recognise sugar easier than it recognises artificial sweetener. I don't know if easy is the word, but, you know, you're just trading health problem for, you're probably actually trading a worse, having a worse health problem because it's toxic.
Artificial sweeteners are absolute disastrous. You know, they're so bad for you. Artificial sweeteners, you know, for the most part, most of them are carcinogenic, you know, just across the board, and much the same as many of the chemicals you'd find in your shampoos or in your, you know, your normal body washes, deodorants, all those sorts of things. Many of those chemicals are carcinogenic, and so are the chemicals that are used to make artificial sweeteners. Some of them, though, are actually neurotoxins. So, for example, aspartame is a known proven neurotoxin. There's over 200 studies that actually talk about the neurotoxicity of aspartame in not only rat models but also in human models. And so it's so important to keep in mind that, you know, the body's designed to clear and get rid of sugar, carbohydrate, efficiently and effectively. And if you're not sure how to do that, then go to the call that we recorded called How to Get Heart Disease, Diabetes and Cancer, and actually talk about how to get, how your body gets rid of carbohydrate or sugar out of your system. But at least your body's designed to get rid of it. But in terms of the neurotoxins and all the other stuff, for your body to get rid of that junk, it's got to go through a massive process. I'm talking massive. Like, it's really got a lot of work to do. So much so that the liver's involved, the spleen's involved, other parts of digestion are involved. And look, some of them, like, for example, sucralose, which you find in Splenda, that actually initiates a glycemic response, but later on in the digestive process. So there's this perception that because it's what's considered to be low glycemic index, that it's actually okay. But the long-term loading of the product is quite challenging for the body. The other thing is, too, that just sometimes the sweetness factor that's in these things stimulates an emotional response that allows the body to still send out insulin as well as the pancreatic enzymes that would otherwise be secreted when there was normally sugar going to the body. So you're far better off having the thing that's real so your body can at least deal with it rather than actually pretending and tricking your body to then have to go and do something totally different that's unnatural. So, you know, try and stay away from the natural stuff.
And I think I'm going to challenge people here. If you're listening to this, have just listened to Damien because he didn't really get to take a breath. But I think that there is a tendency, possibly, for people to start glazing over and go, oh, well, you know, kind of, you know, I'm not so bad and I won't worry about that. But the trouble is that, you know, if you listen to that call and also in your presentation, Power of Food, and you actually see that cycle go round, this could be, you know, you could be starting this at whatever age and then it comes and kicks you massively hard in the ass at 50, 60 with massive health issues. Well, I mean, you know, but people glaze over because they're like, oh, come on, it's just sugar and not really, and I can't feel all these things happening to me, so therefore it's not really real. I remember taking someone into the hospital who was having a heart attack quite a few years ago, and we didn't know they were having a heart attack, but there was something seriously wrong with them. And I remember watching them put their cigarettes on the dashboard. Now, the next day when they realised, and I mean, you know, this is going back a few years, but they turned around and they said to me, if I'd only known, like I know that I've been told, but if I'd only known that this was going to happen to me, there's no way. You know, that memory has really vividly stuck in my brain. So I think, you know, like I say, we get whispers and then we get the sort of the brush of the hair, then we kind of get the push and then we get the 4x2 around the head, you know, when it all comes crashing down. So, you know, if you glaze over, I would challenge you to actually, even if you just listen to the recording and listen to a bit of it and, you know, thought, okay, maybe I need to start actually taking this on board and maybe being aware of how I feel when I'm eating sugar and, you know, how much sugar I actually have in my day. One of the things that I really get concerned about is children's cereals. Because parents want to, you know, you want to do everything you can for your children when they're little and you want to do this and you want to do that. So when they, you know, when children start saying, but I want these ones and blah, 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 and oh, one bowl won't hurt, but how many teaspoons of sugar are in an average cereal? And I know I've brought this up before, but I really think you wouldn't sit your child down at breakfast and dish them up 10 teaspoons of sugar before school or before preschool and say, here you go, eat this with a bit of water and off you go. But essentially, it's chemicals made to look like food. Was that a rant?
Well, that's it. Definitely the breakfast cereals because they're so highly processed. And you can't, you know, a lot of people go to me, well, how come forage is so expensive? And I go, well, when you get the real thing, when you're getting the real deal, you're not actually chucking junk in there. it is actually quite expensive. But when you actually chuck junk into stuff, it actually makes it less expensive. It's actually cheaper to manufacture artificial sweetener than it is to manufacture sugar. And then it's actually more expensive to use the whole grain than to use part of the whole grain. Because if I throw in fillers and buffers and binders and gums and all kinds of other things into a mix, I can actually make something really, really inexpensive and last and go a long way. So I could use some potato starch, for example. It cost me absolutely nothing to grow some potatoes. And then mix that in with a little bit of rice, and I've got a new starch that I can actually create a cereal out of, and I could feed that to your kids. I could feed that to you, but of course, I'm not worried about the health implication. I'm actually just worried about filling your tummy, which is what many people actually want, is a full tummy. But much of the food that you get is so highly processed that really the body doesn't necessarily recognize it for what it truly actually is. And the response is quite significant. So many of your breakfast cereals can be anywhere between 65 and 80% sugar or carbohydrate. Now, you've got to remember that carbohydrate and sugar is exactly the same thing, except for when you take the fiber component out. So if you take fiber out of the equation, subtract fiber from the total carbohydrate, and that'll give you the total amount of sugars, and then you get a real sense of how much sugar you're actually eating for breakfast. So if you give your child, you know, a couple of cups worth of cereal for breakfast, and then you add some kind of a milk to it, and then maybe they put some sugar on it or some fruit on it, you could in fact be giving your kid, you know, 5, 6, or 7, or 10 teaspoons of sugar just for breakfast. And then you send them off and expecting them to go and learn and study and take it in and behave themselves and not get sidetracked or lose concentration. It's hugely challenging for them.
And you know what? I think as hard as it is to break those habits, you've got to remind yourself this is your child's future that you're actually affecting. And so if you start them young on anything, whether it's positive or negative, it has an effect.
That's exactly right. That's right.
I was going to throw the whole thing in for, I'm sure guys think about this, but females. So, you know, like if you can't curb your sweet tooth for a slimmer waistline, think about maybe your skin. You know, what's the effect on our, you know, on us aging with it? Because, you know, I can't use all the stuff about collagen and, you know, what actually happens to us?
Well, carbohydrate and sugar stimulates a whole lot of issues. One, from an inflammatory point of view, because you get a hormone inflammatory response that's triggered by the secretion of insulin and then other growth hormones and insulin-like growth factor and interleukin-1 and 6 and tumor necrosis factor. You get all these hormones that actually get secreted as a result of the ingestion and the consumption of sugars and carbohydrates if they're in excess. And then you've got to try and switch off that inflammatory response. And the way in which you do that is with amino acids. And often what we find is that people eat so much carbohydrate that they don't have enough amino acid in their supply chain to actually switch off or cut down or break down that inflammatory process. The other thing is fat. If you're not eating enough dietary fat, then you can't decrease inflammation. So as a result, you're in more inflammation. And so as a result, having a high carb, low fat, low protein lifestyle, such as Jenny Craig or Weight Watchers or any of those other crap programs, then you're going to find that your body's not going to hold together very well and your skin will age, it will sag and it won't bounce back. Part of the reason that does that is because the inflammation that actually takes place in the whole of your body actually also takes place at a collagen level. And so you start to damage your collagen starts to stretch, and as a result of not eating enough protein and in fact too much carbohydrate, you're damaging your collagen, you can't repair your collagen because you don't have the nutrients to actually repair, and you will look older and you will sag. I met this Japanese lady. In fact, I adjusted her this evening. She's, I think, pretty close to 50 years old, and I would swear that she's not even 30. And I asked her what her diet is, and she said, I have a lot of raw fish, I have a little bit of rice, I have lots of vegetables, and when I eat my meat, it's not very cooked. I was like, wow, there you go. Funny that, because that's exactly what I ask you to do on the 112-day challenge, and this woman seems to have reversed the aging process. It's absolutely incredible.
Mm. And, you know, you said something back before about switching things on. So the opposite of that is actually deactivating things. I read that, you know, your natural antioxidant enzymes switch off.
Yeah.
Can you, true. Which, and does that leave you more vulnerable to sun damage, which, again, compounds aging?
Yeah, well, look, again, it comes back to the consumption, the quantity of carbohydrate, because you can still eat carbohydrate and still do okay. But the challenge with eating too much carbohydrate in relation to fats and proteins is the other hormonal responses. So a lot of the antioxidant benefits that we get come from vegetables, and our body has the ability to manage this chemical called superoxide dismutase within the body, you know, within the cell structure. And we can manage that through multiple different types of enzyme reactions at a cellular level. We do that in the absence of excess carbohydrate. So when we don't have bucket loads of carbohydrate or sugar going around, then we can actually manage all those inflammatory type, oxidative stress type reactions taking place at a cellular level. But we can actually we can manage that sort of stuff really well when we can manufacture certain hormones. So, for example, vitamin D and vitamin E, vitamin K and vitamin A are actually only absorbed in our diet if we have fat in our diet. And we can only manufacture vitamin D if we have adequate amounts of saturated fat in our diet so we can manufacture other types of hormones like serotonin, melatonin, progesterone, and estrogen. If we don't have enough fat in our diet, we can't get all that sort of stuff right. So you've really got to make sure that you're eating according to the plan that I've actually set out for you based on your PAR method, based on the food suggestions that I've actually given you in the 112-day challenge, and eat according to that, because as much as you may think that this it may or may not be an appropriate way for you to eat, or you might think that you've got a better idea, or your doctor thinks that he knows better or she knows better, they actually don't, and you don't. So you've actually got to do this because it's going to, sort your body out. And really stick to the portion sizes because it makes a world of difference. It's super important.
Mm. Damien, Tracy, she's given me permission, so that's why I'm saying her name. She sent through a couple of photos today of her meals that she prepared out of the book, and honestly, they just looked absolutely fantastic. And I think when you eliminate as much as possible sugar out, all of those things actually become, more desirable. They, the colours stimulate you more. I think that sugar tends to maybe switch you off a wee bit as well to, foods, because you're always looking for the next sugar hit. When you go without, sugar overload, I mean, apples to me are absolute because I don't have very much sugar at all, I don't have a sweet tooth. Some apples are so sweet to me that it's like, gosh, I couldn't get any sweeter. And I think that your taste buds really, they wake up again. But also, I'll send it to you, but she also sent some photos in of her wee boy enjoying one of the challenge meals. So, great. It was really nice to see. Right, so I'm going to just refresh, see if anyone's got any questions. It looks like everyone's just quietly listening. And see if anybody's got anything they want to ask or challenge about that. Okay, so I'm going to give Damien just a couple of minutes to get prepared. He's going to have a look at somebody sent in their food diary. So I think I haven't asked if they're okay for their name to be said. So Damien, if you cannot read out whose diary it is, and he's just going to touch on the point. It's a little bit more complicated because there's some health things that go with it, but you're going to concentrate predominantly on the food, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm just trying to get my head around the way in which it's all been written up, because this is probably the most impressive food diary I've ever seen in my whole life in terms of the way
it's actually beautiful. I thought, wow, that's awesome. But, that shows somebody who, has to monitor what's going on in their day as well. So,
Can I just ask
you a question, Damien? Tracy, who's a new challenger, asks, almond milk, so good soy milk, has sugar cane listed as its second ingredient. Is this the almond milk you recommend?
But let's put this into context. It won't be the second ingredient. It'll be the second ingredient after rice. So it'll be water, then rice. Water, then almonds, and then it'll be sugar.
Sorry, Damien, there's a conflict because, Tracy, you say almond milk and then so good soy milk. And soy milk's not what you're recommending, Damien?
No, I never recommend soy milk, no.
So, Tracy, if you could just clarify, is that on the almond milk or is that on the soy milk? So I'll give you a chance to answer that. Shamila says, what specific foods target fat loss around the tummy? Wow, everything we just talked about, really.
Yeah, everything we just spoke about.
So carbohydrates.
The reason why you've got fat around the tummy is because your body's in stress. And when you're in a stress and you're storing and you've got too much insulin running through your system, then you'll end up with a massive storage. And your storage of sugar is as a form of what's called triglyceride. And triglyceride is actually stored in your fat cells. So that's a result of excess carbohydrate consumption and stress. That's the reason.
Tracy said it's actually so good, almond milk.
Okay. So, Tracy, you'll notice that the first ingredient will be water. The next ingredient will be rice. The rice component, almonds, not rice. The almond component is about 3% of the total amount that actually goes into these things. It's somewhere between 3 and 6%. So it's not a whole lot. It's really about 95% water. And then you've got all these other bits and pieces added to it. And so it's a little bit of sugar just to sweeten it. And you should find that the total amount of carbohydrate or the total amount of sugar shouldn't exceed around about 10 to 11 grams per 100, so 10 to 11%. But in saying that, I never have recommended soy so good. I don't recommend so good just generally because they tend to use a fair bit of sugar in their products. Anything from Sanitarium is usually rubbish, so I don't tend to touch it. I tend to only use products that are organic in nature. So there's another one called Eco Milk. You can get that in New Zealand. I think you're probably going to find that in your health food stores, like your Whole Foods and your Ceres stores, and those sorts of places. If you go to those sorts of joints, you'll get the better quality ones. But I'm not a big fan of anything from So Good. I think they're very commercial, very sugar-laden, very not too flash.
Tracy just posted the ingredients list, and it goes filtered water, cane sugar, almonds, 3%, minerals, salts, et cetera, et cetera.
So, yeah, that's not too good. I wouldn't go that. If sugar's the next ingredient after water, and then almonds come in at 2%, it's not really almond milk. It's actually sugar milk with almond flavour.
Good description. That's good. So do you want some sugar milk with that syrup?
Yeah, would you like some almond flavour with your sugar milk?
Yeah, would you like some sugar with sugar? Would you like some sugar water with your crunchy sugar? Okay, all right.
Yeah.
And for those of you who think this is about Damien's cereal, it's actually not, because long before Damien started doing his cereal, which really came about when he was doing this was always the discussion about cereal. And if you ask Rosita, my closest friend who is involved in Slim U, I've always nagged her about cereals, and so her children don't get any of that stuff anymore. So Tracy said, thanks, Damien, that confirmed my hunch. So, yeah, I always say go with your gut feelings. If you think something's not quite right, you're probably most likely right about it. Alrighty, have you got that food jar in front of you, Damien?
Yeah, I do. It's incredible. It's the most incredible food diet I've ever seen in terms of its format and its detail. It's just out of this world. But the greatest thing about it is that what it actually illustrates is the degree by which food actually affects this person's blood sugar. And what I aim for in my food design is to try and get your blood sugar levels to fall somewhere between 4 and around about 6.5, 6 maximum, really. But if I could get it between 4 and 5.5, then I know I'm doing really, really well. But there'll be some people that listen to this call whose sugar levels will fluctuate greater than that. And this particular case, this person's blood sugar levels can fluctuate as high as 12s and possibly even go up to 13. So that's an indicator that there's somewhat hyper-responsiveness to the glycemic load of a particular food, or the glycemic index of a particular food, but then the subsequent drop or associated removal of sugar when insulin comes into play. So this person actually has to manage glycemic loading, or the amount of sugar in the bloodstream, by actually administering insulin. But what's interesting is the speed at which there's a peak, or the speed at which there's a spike in blood sugar as a result of certain foods. And basically, when I see meals that are unbalanced, when I see foods or meals that are high in carbohydrate, low in fat, and not high enough in protein, then I'm going to see fluctuating blood sugar levels with the corresponding need to then either top up because of a hypo, or to cut back or administer more insulin as a result of a hyper. And that's because the foods or the meals are unbalanced. There's not enough fat, there's not enough protein. If you keep your fat and your protein up high enough, then the carbohydrate load that you consume will have very, very little bearing on your blood sugar levels. Your blood sugar levels will then become very, regulated as a result of keeping excellent amounts of protein and fat in the bloodstream, which are alternative sources of fuel. Now, to put this into context, I have a type 1 diabetic who plays professional rugby for a rugby team over here. You might have heard of them. They smashed the Crusaders on the weekend, called the Rebels, and which I was very, very excited about. Sorry, Gaz, but it was nice to see the Rebels get up and beat the Crusaders. One of the biggest upsets of the last decade, I reckon. And this guy plays professional rugby. He's a type 1 diabetic and he's unmedicated. He doesn't use any insulin because he manages his diet exactly the same way as what I've asked everybody on this call to actually do. So I would encourage
people. That's pretty awesome.
This is the thing. Like, I'm not blowing smoke. This guy is fair dinkum and he gets his weekly adjustment, hence the reason why I've asked every single one of you to go and see a chiropractor, because it actually helps to maintain the health of your spine and your nervous system. He takes the supplements that he is supposed to take to assist his body to regulate his insulin, sensitivity, and his blood sugar sensitivity. He does all that. And as a result of doing all that, he's actually able to go and play professional rugby at a national level and score and do a great job. He's unbelievable. What an athlete. Incredible. And he's got type 1 diabetes, which for many people see that as a barrier. He carries a little bit of body fat on him. That's because he used to use insulin, and now he doesn't use any insulin, and everything's absolutely fantastic. So I just want to keep that in mind. So let's just have a look at some of the meals that are in here. So the scrambled egg with mozzarella and lentil sprouts, avocado and green. I love that. What a beautiful start to the day. Mandarin, I don't know what inchi nuts are, there's some inchi nuts there. Inchi?
Don't know.
I don't know either. And then there's two apples, a chunk of decent cheese, dry roasted nuts. I don't know why you need to go and have a chunk of decent cheese, and I don't know why you need to have two apples, but having two apples, which is a massive hit of sugar, it's not a lot of calories, it's just a big hit of sugar. And all it is, it's just unbalanced. And I suppose you've balanced it out, you balance that carbohydrate out by having the cheese. That's good. And then also balance out the carbohydrate by having some nuts. But the nuts are dry roasted, which means that the benefit in the oils or the benefits in the fats have now no longer, they're not there. Because when you dry roast a nut, you actually start to muck up the biological equations in terms of beneficial fats inside the nut. So you're destroying
polyunsaturated fats. I just need to say that for somebody, a squirrel. Somebody who eats a lot of nuts. I said, are you listening to the dry roasted comment? Carry on.
Yeah, you don't want to have dry roasted nuts. You want to. No. If you're going to do anything to your nuts, don't heat them. You should. If you're going to do anything to change their flavour or their nature, then you should soak them. That's the best way to go. Then the dinner, and look, what you actually see as a result of having all of that fuel is there's a significant increase in blood sugar levels there. It goes from, you know, somewhere around about the 5-point-something mark all the way up to 10.4. So, you know, quite a big jump. Fish and salad, mashed potato. There's no need to have potato on this particular program. And actually, I beg your pardon, the mashed potato is probably what actually pushed the glycemic load up here or the sugar level up here. And as a result, then may have needed to have some kind of insulin to try and bring that down. Because that will result then in a hypoglycemic attack. So when you pump in insulin to manage the sugar that you've actually been eating or the glycemic index or the carbohydrate you've been eating, when you pump in that insulin, your blood sugar level is going to drop. And so you're trying to avoid using insulin, because if you can avoid using insulin, then you're going to have these corresponding hypos, which then could cause all kinds of other problems such as migraine or such as dizziness or coma in the extreme case. And the challenge then is when you get a hypo, this person's gone and had six dinosaurs. You could have had half a banana, and that might have actually taken you a bit slower out of that hypo. Albeit, I know you would have woken up with a shock at 2 o'clock in the morning with a hypo, but the response or the management of that is extreme, especially given that it was brought on by something that was outside of the program, which was mashed potato. So it's good to keep all this stuff in mind, and hopefully this person's actually learning something about, you know, what you're doing with your food, because it's not conventional. It's different to what you've been doing in the past. And so as a result, there's you know, there's things that we're doing differently. This person woke up in the morning, blood sugar levels were elevated at 9.9, so nearly 10. As a result of having the dinosaurs, it took a little while for them to come down. Then they had a shake. And so I don't know what was actually in the shake. I'm not too sure, and neither is this person as to what they actually had in terms of in that shake, in terms of carbohydrate load or protein load. But it appears that at some point there was a little bit of insulin administered probably around about 10 o'clock. And then as a result, blood sugar levels go low. They go below, even though your blood sugar levels were within a normal range, you were administered some insulin. The blood sugar levels, you know, go low, go into a hypo, and then takes a little bit of time for that to come out. As a result of the hypo, you have six dinosaurs, again, more lollies, which of course is challenging for the body and really, really tough. You then went and had a peach with some nuts, and that was sensible because having the peach with the nuts, having a little bit of carbohydrate, a little bit of fat, a little bit of protein in the nuts actually got your body back on track, and that's pretty good. So I'm actually, you know, quite happy with that. Graze on some veggie sticks and dips, that's sensible. Fish is good, but then fried dumplings and some chips. You know, you've got to try and work that out. It says they're three because they look good. I'm not sure whether or not it's fried dumplings that were three or chips that were three, but of course that's, you know, something that's, you've got to ask the question as to whether or not that's appropriate. Kind of not that ideal, although it didn't actually muck up your blood sugar levels. It won't have actually helped you out from a health point of view. So be a little bit careful with that sort of thing because it is, you know, it is not good. And then three half glasses of alcohol. And, of course, that's going to blow things out as well.
So, Damien, just in the things that you've read out from a piece of listening to this is that there are consistently inconsistencies. So, you know, there's lots of good things, but there's lots of things that are, you know, contradicting what they're actually looking for from the sounds of what I'm hearing. So I could be wrong, but, you know, we can't, I suppose for people listening, we get 21 meals in a week, and if you feel like you need to be having six meals a day, and that's what you need to do, then we're saying you need to do it. So, you can double the amount of meals. But if you're actually having two out of three meals a day that are having things like wine and mashed potatoes and, you know, you can't expect the results that you're looking for if you're having things that aren't on the program.
Yeah, that's right. And look, on this particular day I'm just going to read this one out because this is actually quite good. So blood sugar will start, you know, outside of the normal range at about 9.3, possibly because the day before was, you know, pretty ordinary in terms of the food that was consumed. Then we got a scrambled egg with mozzarella and lentil sprouts, avocado greens, some mandarins, some veggie sticks and hummus, chicken, hummus size of chicken, grazing on some veggie sticks and a handful of nuts, then chicken, salad, broccoli, beans and sauerkraut. Now, if I look at the blood sugar levels throughout the whole day here, it's pretty much held within the normal levels, and that's excellent. Right. You know, it's really, really good. Albeit, there's still three half glasses of alcohol being consumed there. Now, I don't have alcohol. I would have alcohol once in a month. And look, I'm not putting myself out there to be an angel, but, you know, to get serious about being healthy and to get serious about making this program work for you, there's no room for alcohol every single day. There's just not. And this is 112 days that we're asking you to just shape up a little bit and just get things on track. And I'm not afraid of, you know, speaking out about this, because, you know, I really want you to take this seriously. I dedicate my life to helping people out. To this date, I haven't ever received an income from the 112-day challenge in the 4 years I've been doing it. And I don't like to have to fight with people to get them to actually eat the right food. So I would just like people to eat the right food so that you can get a better result. So I'd encourage you to take this seriously. I'm just going to do one more day. And what's interesting is the response, the way that the body actually responded here to sugar. We've got scrambled eggs, mozzarella, spinach and avocado, which is excellent. Coming out of a hypo, an orange. Oranges aren't actually on the program. And, of course, that's going to send the blood sugar levels up a little bit higher. The response of the body will be that you're going to try and get that down rapidly because it's a high glycemic fruit. And so it's really challenging on the body, really, really difficult. An apple, that's fine, I don't mind that. And then, of course, go into hypo, so then five dinosaurs were consumed. No need for that. And then the blood sugar levels go into hyper, so bumping up to about 10 again. So you can see that we get a seesaw effect of having too much carbohydrate. The idea would be that you gradually pull yourself out of a hypo rather than actually rapidly pull yourself out of a hypo. If you rapidly pull yourself out of a hypo, then you're going to find yourself in a world of trouble, and you're going to find yourself bouncing all over the place in a seesaw kind of fashion. So a big handful of assorted nuts, kiwi fruit, well done. Four half glasses of wine, that's half a bottle. Roast lamb, biggest palm size of lamb, which is good. A couple of spud cubes, chips, salad, sauerkraut, beans and broccoli. There's no room for potato in this program. I'll say it again. So you've got to stick to the foods that are within the program. They're designed to work. And when you have stuck to the foods that are designed, that are within this program, you've got good results. It's that when you take them out of context and you eat foods that you're used to eating in the past, then things will muck up. Same thing for the following day. You don't eat food until 1 p.m. But for morning, you know, for breakfast, you have dinosaurs and tangy bites. And that's kind of not good for you. That's not good. And then you go into a hypo, and then you come out of that with another, you know, with tangy bites. And so then you've got four glasses of red wine. There's just no way that your body can find balance. And, you know, to get absolutely serious about this, you're not being serious. So I'd ask you to pull up your socks. You there, Phyllis?
Sorry, Damon, are you there?
Phyllis?
Can you hear me?
Here.
Oh, cool. Sarah said that the inchy nuts are the thing Cindy talked about on the wellness guides that she uses as a protein source, 65%. So she said, see, I listened to
beautiful.
The podcast.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, go for gold.
And the shake was a Cindy shake, which the person said is blooming disgusting. The three dumpling chips, not worth administering insulin for. And wine, no effect at all on blood sugars. Now, vodka and orange, that's different. The glucose in the orange cancels out the reduction of glucose levels caused by vodka. When I'm not sure you're going to even comment on that, are you?
Well, look, if the world was measured just by the amount of revolutions that it actually spun in, then that would make sense, but it doesn't work like that. You know, there's a whole lot of other things that actually take place within the body, and it's not just your blood sugar levels that I'm concerned with. It's the overall health and well-being of your body. Now, you can't tell me that alcohol doesn't have an effect on the liver, and the long-term effect of alcohol on the liver is, of course, that the secretion of inflammatory cytokines that will disrupt other types of things, including insulin sensitivity. So, you know, you might say that it doesn't affect your blood sugar levels, but that means that you're just looking to see what affects your blood sugar levels, not actually looking to see what's affecting your health. So you're trying to narrow it down too much and be a little bit too scientific about it. And actually, when I'm asking you to have a global view at your health and your well-being, but you're trying to make it, you're trying to dumb it down, and I'm not dumbing it down.
Okay. So I'm just going to quickly sum up. So the best way to eliminate sugar from our diet is to have natural whole foods, meat, some fruits and vegetables, good proteins, oils. Yep. Read the ingredient label. Somebody's already demonstrated tonight. I'm not even going to discuss processed beverages because, seriously, probably one of the biggest downfalls that have ever happened to the human race. And so you'll start to beat those sugar cravings if you actually push through having those things. Be a little bit cautious about some fruits. Definitely no artificial sweetener. If you are going to have a sweetener, stevia.
No, don't even worry about it. Don't kid yourself. Don't worry about having a sweetener. If you need a sweetener, then your life's not sweet enough. Find something else to sweeten your life up with.
Awesome. Alrighty. Well, that's about it from me and you.
Me too. Yeah.
See you next week.
Have a great night. Have a great week. Take it easy. All right. Be good. Behave yourself.
See ya. Bye. Bye.